Welcome to Wine and Spines, the podcast where we uncork great books and read great wines.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Lauren. And as always, before we get started, a quick warning. This episode may contain spoilers. So if you haven't read the book yet, you might want to pause and come back later.
Now, we know some of you might have been expecting us to delve into The Sociopath Next Door this week. And well, let's just say that one proved to be a bit challenging.
One of us didn't even start the book. So, in the spirit of giving it every book its due and preserving our own sanity, we decided to gracefully pivot. We felt we couldn't give it the full, thoughtful episode it deserved if one of us was reading through gritted teeth. So we're skipping ahead to something truly special.
Today, we're blasting off into the 1980s with the one and only Taylor Jenkins Reid and her latest cosmic masterpiece, Atmosphere.
We're talking a slow burn romance that'll leave you breathless, the gritty ambition of the space race, and a journey of self-discovery that is just out of this world, literally.
And to keep us grounded, or perhaps help us appreciate the vastness of the universe, we are sipping on a beautiful, nuanced, and utterly captivating Rebellious Pinot Noir from 2022.
Ah, yes. This is a wine that makes you think, and a wine that beautifully complements the layers of emotion and the sweeping narrative of Atmosphere. We're talking those juicy red fruits, a hint of earthiness, and just enough elegance to match Joan's incredible journey.
Absolutely. So grab your glass, settle into your favorite reading nook, and get ready to deep dive into the heart of Atmosphere. Lauren, are you ready to launch?
Mission control is a go, Ryan. Let's get uncorked and turn some pages.
All right, so for anyone who hasn't had the absolute pleasure of picking up Atmosphere yet, let's set the scene a little bit.
Imagine, it's the 1980s, right? Big hair, shoulder pads, and the space race is still very much a thing. Our main character is this incredible woman named Joan.
She's this brilliant, driven mathematician, and she finds herself at NASA working on this groundbreaking space mission. And let's just say, the stakes are galaxy-level high.
And amidst all this intense, high-pressure science and engineering, Joan forms these really deep, complex relationships. There's this undeniable, slow-burn romance, and you're rooting for it. You're nervous about it. You're just utterly captivated.
It's also about her finding her voice and her place in the world that isn't always ready for a woman like her. It's about ambition, about sacrifice, and about what it truly means to reach for something bigger than yourself, whether that's in your career or in your personal life.
And TJR, as she does, just weaves this incredible story. You're learning about the science, you're feeling all the feels with the characters, and there's this underlying tension because, well, it's a space mission in the 80s. Things can go wrong, very wrong.
You're on the edge of your seat, page after page, and you just keep thinking, are they going to make it? What's going to happen? And then there's this profound sense of wonder, too. It's like she's painting these vivid pictures of the universe and our tiny place within it. It really makes you think.
Yes, this book has so many layers. The historical setting, the personal drama, and the cosmic elements. I personally can't wait to dive into our discussion questions.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, let's start with the story alternates between the present timeline, where the current mission is experiencing disaster, and then it flashbacks to the start of Joan's journey within the space program. Did you like the two storylines eventually meeting up together when you were reading it?
So, first off, do you know what NASA stands for?
National Aeronautic Space Association?
Yes!
Am I right?
Yeah!
Did you know I wanted to be an astronaut when I was younger?
No!
Yes!
Okay,
that's why I was so psyched for this book.
Okay, so I was listening to this book, and first I'm like, National something, space something. Like, I could not figure out what the A's stood for. I mean, association, sure, but I still, like, wasn't sure. So I had to Google what NASA stood for. And so I was just curious if I was the only one, and apparently I was.
Well, I always have loved space, the stars, all of it. Turns out I'm shit at science, though, so that dream did not pan out.
I can imagine. I'm not really great at science either, but also, like, I just got back from visiting family over near D.C., and on the flight there, we had to keep circling because of the storm. We just kept circling, like, the corners of, like, Pennsylvania, Ohio, all these places for probably an hour.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Every time we turned, I could just, like, see the sky. But, like, it's not, like, the sky as we see it in the, you know, on the ground, obviously. And it was, like, dark. And I was, like, I'm scared. I was, like, what's happening? Why is this plane basically sideways? Why am I looking up at, like, I'm above the clouds. What is going on? And so then listening to this book, it was very cool to, like, put that into perspective. And, like, all these people, like, just people in general who, astronauts, people who want to be astronauts, you who just love space, like, people who, like, dream of the stars like that. It's very cool to kind of, like, see for a moment, like, oh, what do they see, I guess? I don't know. It kind of put the whole, like, world thing into perspective. Like, obviously when you fly and you look down, you're like, I can't see the people, but you never see above you.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool, and I kind of got it for a moment until we did it for like an hour. That was good. That was good to land. But back to your question. So I did like it. I personally like books that kind of split. By that, I mean either jump back and forth in time or jump from people's perspectives. Either way, I like it. So I liked that with zero context, this disaster is happening. With zero context, that's how the book starts out. And then all of a sudden, you're back in, like, what, 1979? Like, not even in the 80s yet, 78. And we get a completely different character. And I'm like, okay, so this is obviously important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I liked it. I think that it created more tension because you're also like, how is this important? Why did I need to know this from the start?
Yeah.
You know, it kind of gives you that clue. But it's tension because you're like, okay, you're reading this book to see like what happens. How do we get to point C?
Mm-hmm.
We're at A. So we start at point C. Then we're at A, you know, of Joan not even being at NASA. Then we got to get her to NASA, and we got to get all of these storylines to see how do we end up at this disaster.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. I thought the balance was good. We didn't get too much of the present that it was just enough to keep us wanting to read to get to the present moment.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like
I think she did a good job.
I agree. I think that the dual timelines in my mind, and I'm somebody who visualizes, so I don't know if it's the same for you or not. In my mind, I can like see it like a movie in my mind. Like I pictured like the opening scene, like the disaster starts happening, just how it did in the book, and then it like completely flashes back to like how they got there, like you said. Like I saw it in like a TV episode or a movie type way in my brain as I was reading it.
Yeah, I didn't, obviously, because as I've spoken before, I can't really see anything when I'm reading. But that's also why my plane story kind of helped me to visualize. Here I am looking at the dark sky above, and I'm not talking dark because of storms. I'm talking dark because we're that high up. And I've also seen movies. And so, yeah, a lot of times when I read books like this, I'm not visualizing the book like a movie, but I'm visualizing it like movies that I've seen in the past where they do that, where the opening credits, like any war book, you start with like the war and then it backtracks like 6 months ago or six years ago. And I like that a lot because, like I said, I think it adds a lot of tension and it wants you to get
it's a build
to the
up.
End.
Yeah.
Yes, build up. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I like that.
Me too. So right off the bat, we meet a big cast of characters. Vanessa, Griff, Lydia,
Donna, Hank, and more. Why was it important for us to get to know so many characters? I mean, we talk a lot about books where, like, sometimes we have to write down the characters. There's so many.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there were that many, but we do meet them pretty quickly into the book.
Yeah, and you kind of have to decipher who's who.
Yeah.
I do think it's important because, in my mind, you know, everyone's on that ship for a reason. They have one job on that ship, and their job is that job. You know what I mean? Like, Hank's the captain.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, like, he's piloting.
Right.
So, like, he's there for that reason. That is his job. And Lydia and Griff, they go out of the ship, and that's when they get in trouble.
I think Vanessa was with Griff.
Oh, I thought it was Lydia. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will restart that.
Yeah, Vanessa was with Griff. Because the reason Griff got hit with a shrapnel is because he didn't close the gate.
Yeah, they left it open so they could see the view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he got hit.
Yeah. So, you know, their job was to be the people that secured the, what was it, like some sort of probe?
To be honest, I was very confused because it all happened in the beginning.
Yeah, it happened really quickly.
It happened so quickly, and it's all science talk that I knew. I didn't know what I was reading.
Yeah.
But I knew that they needed to do it.
Yeah. They were on, like, a military mission almost. Like, mm-hmm. It was some sort of, like, they had to attach this probe, and then when they got back to the ship, instead of shutting the door like they were supposed to, because that's protocol, they left it open so they could see the view. And then something went wrong with that probe. It exploded, shrapnel hit Griff.
And there was a leak.
Yes, and it hit the ship. The shrapnel hit the ship, too.
And so they all lost oxygen.
Yeah. So I think very quickly you had to know whose job was what, because, like, you know, who's medical? Who can take care of people, like, on the ship when they get injured and that sort of thing?
I agree to an extent. It's very apparent when you're on any type of a NASA spaceship, a boat ship. Like, when you're on anything that has to do, obviously we're talking about spaceships, so I'll just go with that. But, and Joan kept saying it throughout the book, it's you either all survive or no one survives.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a me against the rest. It is a team.
Yeah.
And so knowing that, even without understanding that, like, you need to know that these characters are important. They're important to the story. They're important to the people. They are a group. You know, Lydia, throughout the book, obviously, it doesn't understand that until the end.
She's very competitive.
But you still know that she's important. And so I liked getting to know the characters, like, kind of up front instead of having to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And have them be, like, slowly introduced.
But the nice thing was, is with the dual timeline, you got the flashbacks that showed their, like, personal growth, which I really appreciated. Each of their personal growths throughout the story.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. So we talked about it jumping and getting the details and how TJR is just, you know, she gives a lot of information about the space,
mm-hmm.
like about space, about the space program. There's plenty of detail about NASA in the book. Did you feel like you learned anything new about space travel while reading this novel?
Yes, in the moment,
you already
yes.
knew what NASA stood for, so
in the moment,
what more
yes.
did you need?
I know. but I will say, I don't know if any of it stuck.
Oh, of course.
But that's just, it could just be like my book blackouts that I always get.
It does always make me sad when books have, like, all of these facts. They, you know, teach you something. And then I go to tell someone and I can't remember what it is I learned. And it makes me so sad because it's like I found it so fascinating when I was reading it. And to be honest, why can't I talk tonight? To be honest, I actually wanted more information.
Yeah.
Like, this book, and it says on the cover, it's a romance novel.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of space.
That's how I viewed the book.
Not spice, space.
But there were some facts about space and some facts about NASA and the programs, but I did kind of want to learn a little bit more. But I did have to keep telling myself, like, hello, it's a romance novel. This is a lot for a romance novel. Like,
yeah.
We did learn a lot mm-hmm. for it being categorized as a romance.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that one of your favorite authors is Jodi Picoult.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're contagious. I can't talk now either. She researches things so well and is very good at like explaining things at a very basic level, even if they're complex.
I think that's why I don't want to call it a high standard, but a higher standard than probably normal, is because every single book she writes is, yes, it's a novel, but the facts are 100% true. Like, she wrote a book about wolves. She literally went and lived on a wolf sanctuary. She wrote a book about the Amish. She literally went to an Amish farm and stayed there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, she has researched and researched all of these topics that she writes about, to the point of her very first ever book, Songs of Humpback Whale. Doesn't really have much to do about humpback whales, but by golly, you're going to learn some facts about humpback whales. And they're facts. Handle with care. I learned a lot about, and now I don't remember the scientific term, but I learned a lot about brittle bone disease.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. And so it's really nice when you leave a book and you're like, I learned something new that's like true. You know, not just I read this fiction book. And so I do think that we learned a lot. I also did have to keep reminding me that it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, this book was in the 80s. I was like, I kept getting a little confused on, in the beginning, the dates. I know they say the dates, but I was listening to it.
Yeah.
So I did have to keep telling myself, like, we are in the 80s. That's why we're where we're at. I was a little confused. No, I thought for a romance novel, I did think that we learned a good deal about space. And honestly, like, how many astronauts NASA really has versus how many actually go up in space.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, like, yeah, you know that on some level, but to actually see it, like, this group of, 18 people are cadets just hoping to become astronauts out of 150 applications.
Mm-hmm.
And then to even try, like, yeah, cool, now you're an astronaut. But it could be years before you ever even get into space.
Yeah.
It's wild. So that I thought that was very fascinating.
Yeah. I enjoyed all her little tidbits that she added in there. And like you said, like, I think that it was just enough for a romance novel. Like, I think if it had been any more, it almost would have consumed the novel and then we would have lost the plot.
Yeah. Well, the plot would have been different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I kind of want to talk about the crew a little bit. So which of the, like, crew members were you most drawn to while reading it?
The crew members?
Like Griff, Lydia, Vanessa.
Do you mean they're, like, core group?
Yes, like the core group.
So I really liked Griff. I just did. I thought he was
a man
so
written by a woman. That's all I'll say.
He was so sensible. And what I liked the most about him is, yeah, he had this huge crush on Joan. And even after everything that happened with them, you know, he still had her best interest at heart. He still told her, like, be careful. You know, be careful. We're not in a world that's... He clocked her. What yes. I liked about Griff is that he could clock Joan before Joan ever realized what she was thinking. And I liked that bond a lot.
Me too.
And I also liked Lydia.
Did you?
Because she was written in a way to not be the favorite. But I do think that she had growth. she saved them all.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't quick enough for some.
Yeah.
But she's the only reason anyone survived. And that's not the Lydia that started this. You know, I just think she wanted to learn. I think she grew up in a world where everyone told her that she was the smartest and that she could do anything. And she was never held accountable. And I liked her and Joan's relationship. I liked the fact that Joan would sit there and be like, you're wrong. Like when Joan got to go up in space first, she came over to her house and she was like, I'm smarter than you. And Joan's like, no, you're not. And she goes, yeah, but I'm better at this than you. And she goes, no, you're not. And she like was the too. Only one who would actually tell her, but Lydia actually listened to her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone else really gave her that chance. And so she wasn't my favorite by any means, but I liked her character.
Yeah.
I think the book needed her character. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise I feel like she could have very easily been written as like a, I don't want to say plain Jane, because all of them are very talented human beings, but like she,
yeah, but like Donna,
like she wouldn't have that edge.
Yeah, like the only thing we really know about Donna is that Donna and Hank got married and had a baby,
mm-hmm.
and Donna still wants to go in space. Like we don't really know much about Donna. We don't know much about Lydia, but we do know that she kind of sucks, but she doesn't want to suck.
Yeah,
and that's why I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Besides Griff. Or why did you like Griff? Because you did say that.
I think Griff was a modern man. Because I think a lot of men at that time, which we kind of touched on in the beginning, you know, women didn't belong at NASA at that time in their minds. And, you know, they kind of had to break through the glass ceiling, some would say, to even get their foot through the door.
Right.
And so I think you see it in some of the other members of their class when they make like sexist jokes towards the females.
Yeah.
And the comparison of how Lydia in particular reacts, the other guys react, and then Griff like puts a stop to it and is like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, he makes them feel stupid. And so I really appreciated that fact because I feel like he was that safe person for the females of the group.
I agree with that. But I think that's another reason why I kind of liked Lydia is, and I like, obviously I like Joan. Joan was the main character. And I liked Joan's perspective of, I'm not just going to laugh when they make sexist jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But I also liked Lydia's perspective of, but if you don't laugh at the jokes, they're still going to make them. And then they're going to say we're too complicated to go to space. You know, like we can't take a joke.
It's a double-edged sword.
And it is, but she understood that. And I did like that. I liked that Joan wasn't willing to do it, but I liked that Lydia saw maybe, I don't even want to say the need. Obviously, I didn't grow up in the 80s, but saw that sometimes, you know, laughing at someone's joke that's not funny is maybe necessary.
Yeah.
And I think we can understand that.
I think all females can understand that.
Yeah. Like, obviously not at the same level. We're not trying to be, like, one of the first women in space. But we can definitely understand having, you know, the need to laugh at a man's joke.
Mm-hmm.
People are now starting to realize it. And, yes, I understand that it might not be the 80s. It might not be the first trip of women getting to space, but I very much understand the need to, like, laugh at someone's joke, mm-hmm. even if it's not funny.
Yeah.
And, or especially shut your mouth.
It's for, like, safety reasons, like you're concerned for your safety. Like, oh, I have to laugh at this joke so this man doesn't murder me.
Or follow me
or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think we've all been there. Okay, so I want to talk about Joan actually being in space.
Oh, okay.
Because the training, I did appreciate Taylor writing about the training they have to go through, because I truly had like no idea. Like, you see, like, the spinny machines that they have to sit in so they don't get motion sickness. But I didn't know about, like, all the water landing practice, which makes sense.
Oh, 100%.
But I just didn't know about it. So I did appreciate that Taylor included those details in the book.
I agree.
And then Joan gets asked to go into space. And she, like, throws up the whole time.
I can't imagine I wouldn't throw up.
Oh, I know.
I thought that was very accurate. And I did like the fact that she even looked over, what's his name, Jim. She was like, even Jim's throwing up, or someone. It was someone else, but they also were throwing up, which did make me, like, feel a little better for Joan. But, yeah.
So.
Sorry, I interrupted before you could
No, you're fine. I would be throwing up, too. So, I feel like she, after that trip, decides she wants to stay on Earth. Even though she loves the stars, and I'm sure she's, like, thrilled that she got to experience that, I think she realizes, like, oh, my body is better on Earth than it is up there. And so do you think that it was truly her saying, I'm good, like, I'm not going to go back up there? Or do you think it was the circumstances with everything surrounding Frances happening at the same time that made her want to stay close to home and be available to Frances?
My first instinct is just to say yes to both.
Yeah.
To all of the above. However, she, even when she was training to go up into space, pre ever making her launch, ever throwing up the entire time, all of that, she found that she liked mission control.
Mm-hmm.
She asked to train at mission control while also training to go up into space. I think having gone into space, having thrown up, having made it back to Earth, I think she realized, you know, I did it. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah. Like, she checked her box.
Yeah. You know, when you have a bucket list,
mm-hmm.
her bucket list, she doesn't love the stars any less. She just doesn't want to be there to touch them. Not like you can, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, she is fine. And then you throw in Frances, and I think she's like, no, I am. Frances is my world.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah.
Figuratively, literally, she is my world. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I personally think mission control suits her personality better.
Anyway. I agree.
I think she is very,
she's very calm.
Very calm, very level-headed, very good in stressful situations. And so, I mean, it was a no-brainer for her to, you know, take in Frances and do all of that. I didn't love that plot line.
Frances, I was just going to ask about that.
I have a love-hate relationship with that plot line, if I'm going to be honest. I personally think I like that Joan got Frances in the end and is able to give Frances a stable home.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't love the being abandoned by your mom trope, if you'd even call it a trope.
Yeah, I can see that.
I just didn't love it. I just didn't love it.
Yeah. I was kind of confused. So, like, the first time we meet Barbara, she's the one that tells Joan to apply to NASA.
Yeah.
So, and I have a sister, so I'm picturing, like, a conversation happening between me and my sister, and I'm thinking it's, like, a supportive phone call where she's like, you should do this. You'd be great at it. And I think it was, but it very quickly turned into Barbara being very I don't even know what the right word is, like, emotionally immature. And, like, it really makes you not like her character. And then it makes you feel very sorry for Frances and Joan.
Well, and I guess that was the whole point. But to me personally, I just think that it didn't really add anything to the book. I think if we had found out very early on that Barbara sucked, and then in the end, Joan finds out all of these things and then takes Frances, that would make more sense.
There, yeah, that is one thing that I was not happy with at the end of the book. Like, you don't get any resolution on that.
No, you just get this entire book about Barbara wanting to, quote, build a better life. And then in the, okay. I'm going to save it for the end. I'm going to save it for my reading.
That's fair.
Because I'm going to go on a tangent and then all of a sudden I'm going to get into my reading and I don't want to talk about that right now.
The energy that you just put into that sentence, it's giving, that's not fair. She made those rules. I need to calm down. That TikTok sound.
Yes.
That's the energy you just gave.
And that's why I'm like, you know, and every time I see that video, I'm like, wow, that kind of sounds like me sometimes. And so I'm going to take a page from that TikTok sound and I'm going to calm down and I'm going to hold off on that and get back to it. But to answer your question, long story short, I think it's all of the above. Mm-hmm. I think even if she didn't take Francis, she's still good with not going up. I think even if she didn't throw up the entire time, she's still good with not going back up. I think it was a once in a lifetime chance. She got her gold pen and she's done.
Yeah. Something else that bothered me about the whole Barbara Frances Joan storyline.
We're back to this.
Sorry, one more thing. I think something else that bothered me is the lack of Joan having that hard conversation with her sister. Like, every single time Barbara did something, I was like, oh, I'd say some shit. Mm-hmm. I'd say some shit. And I know that that's probably because I have a different relationship with my siblings and we're very transparent about how we feel about certain things. And if something bothers us, we're going to say something. But, like, I was like, how is Joan just being like, okay. Like, I don't think I would have that in me.
She's a very passive person.
Yeah.
Because she spent her entire life with even her family letting Barbara dictate it. And so I understand, obviously, that is not you and your siblings by any means. And I also personally don't have that experience either. Like, my brother and I, you know, we don't always talk. He lives states away. I talk to my sister-in-law probably more than my brother, mainly because I always wanted a sister and now I have one. But, like, if my brother and I have an issue, we will talk it out.
Yes.
We will.
And it's not like you, like, let it drag out either. No,
we will figure it out. We will discuss it. We will move forward. It was never a, Lauren, you can't do what you want because your brother is, like, he wants to go to Disney World, so that's what we're doing, even though you had your heart set on blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, you can't have what birthday cake you want for your birthday because he wants this.
Yeah.
No. Like, my parents would never.
Yeah.
Ever. So reading that, it was hard for me to read because I was just like, seriously? Like,
it seemed unbelievable to you?
Yes.
Okay.
It did.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, Joan and Barbara's relationship didn't seem unbelievable to me, but the fact that the parents let Barbara get to that place, I wouldn't say seemed unbelievable because, believe me, I know what happens. I know what happens.
Yeah. I was going to
say, I just thought it was a little not even unrealistic, but I just didn't like it.
Maybe it just needed to be polished or fine-tuned a little bit more.
Maybe. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I couldn't put myself in that place.
Yeah.
So it was hard to read it. I guess I should say that.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
Okay. So we've talked about space. We've talked about the side characters.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a little bit about Joan. Who we haven't talked about is Vanessa. So, when did it become apparent to you that there was something more than friendship between Vanessa and Joan?
Oh, the second Vanessa walked through the door.
Okay, well, same. Mainly the second they sat next to each other during,
yes,
during the, like, interview stage.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, she's talking about this lady, like, almost like the air has left the room.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was like, and the book cover says romance.
It's gotta be someone. It's not Griff. We learned that.
Which I kind of wanted it only because I liked Griff so much. And I liked Joan. And I was like, they'd be such a cute astronaut couple. But obviously that was not the plot. So
you still got an astronaut couple.
I did. It just wasn't Griff, who was so in the 21st century living in the 80s.
I know.
But that's okay. We got Vanessa. But no, I agree. We called it a slow burn, but I was like, it's a romance novel. There has to be some sort of quote unquote slow burn, but it was so blatantly obvious the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone apparently but Joan.
Yeah. I did like their chemistry though, because they talked about Vanessa being like almost stern looking and like coming off cold because she was like very serious.
So it's Vanessa that's on the book cover, right?
Oh, I thought it was Joan. That's interesting.
She always talks about how her, like, she could never draw Vanessa right because she goes, how can you draw hair that's always moving? And so to me, that meant curls. As someone with very curly hair.
You're so fucking right. You're right.
It's like, okay.
That went right over my head.
Okay. I was like, I swear it looks like, I mean.
Yeah. You're right. Now that you say that, I'm like, yeah.
So Vanessa was probably the only character I could picture because she's drawn on the cover.
The whole time I'm like, that's Joan.
That does not look like how Joan describes Joan. No. But that looks like how Joan describes Vanessa. And so I was like, cool. Vanessa's the only person I could literally picture.
Yep. You caught that one. Good job.
Oh, sweet.
But yeah, they always describe her as being like, they're serious.
Yeah.
But then she like breaks down these walls around Joan. And so I really did like that part of their relationship where they're able to like, before any romance started, like they're able to open up to each other. Because yeah. I also feel like Joan kind of has that with like Griff a little bit. But I do think female to female friendships, because they weren't a thing at this point. I do think female to female friendships are different than female to male relationships. And you can open up about a lot more.
I 100% agree. But I also think that Joan just has that personality that she helps break down those walls. She was one of the only people that knew that Donna was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She knew all these things about Griff. She knew all these things about Vanessa. Like she just has that personality that you're able to open up to and you want to open up to her. And I think that obviously Vanessa had the attraction towards Joan, like, don't get me wrong. And obviously whether Joan knew it or not, she did too before, like when yeah. they were just breaking down mm-hmm. the walls. But I think she just has that person. I mean, she was one of the only people that walked up to Vanessa and even tried to talk to her, where everyone else was like, oh, this, you know, she kind of looks tough. Like, I don't know what their reasoning was, but they all lived in the same apartments. They all, you know, kind of knew each other. And Joan was kind of the one that kind of brought Vanessa into that
yeah.
group, while also having those one-on-one conversations with Vanessa that really, I think, helped break down those walls. I mean, we all know, I don't know about you, but like, I know you can only be hurt so many times before you're like brick after brick after brick after brick
mm-hmm.
building it up. And I like to say, like, my fiance, Devin, took a bulldozer to my wall, my like brick wall that I had built up, and kind of made me confront those things. And I think it's just only the right person can do that when you've built those up.
Yeah.
And I think Joan was that for Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So NASA eventually gets wind of the romance between Joan and Vanessa, and Joan ends up becoming a guardian of Francis at this point. And as a result of these two events happening at the same time, Joan breaks up with Vanessa in order to save Vanessa's career. What did you think about all that?
I liked that Vanessa said no.
I know! when she called her from the payphone, I was like,
oh. I was doing dishes and I was like, you go, you know, you go, girl. Mm-hmm. Who is Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. I'm pretty positive Chrissy came out a while back saying that when they first started dating, John tried to break up with her and she literally looked at him and goes, no. And they've been married with kids ever since. She literally was like, no, we're not breaking up.
And then he's written all these love songs about her.
Like, no. And I love that energy.
That's your fire energy.
I loved that where she's like, no, you don't get to just break up because you think it's what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And I liked that because not too many people get a chance to say that.
Yeah.
And to do that. And I completely understood why Joan made that decision and why she felt that that was a decision that she had to make.
Yeah.
But I liked that Vanessa fought back and was like, no, no, you get to listen to me explain why I'm saying no. No, my thoughts at the ending of the book is a different story, but I liked that moment.
I did like that moment. And I do like that Vanessa and Frances' relationship really blossomed.
Especially
too.
Since she was so afraid to even meet her.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I also understand that of like being like, what am I supposed to talk to a 10-year-old about?
Yeah. Like, they're not going to like me.
No. Yeah. I'm this random stranger. What am I supposed to say? And she came in with this, like, Joan is the cool aunt, and Vanessa came in with the cool aunt energy.
Yes.
And I liked that. I liked that a lot. I liked that their friendship blossomed. I liked that, like, Frances would even be like, can Vanessa come? Like, I want Vanessa there.
I know. It was so sweet.
I was like, if anyone's going to be accepting, it's the next generation. It's the Franceses.
Mm-hmm. You know? And Frances really like never, I mean, she's young, so she might not even know what's happening, but like she never blinked an eye.
I'm sure she knows enough. She's in middle school.
Mm-hmm. So it eventually all leads up to a mission where Vanessa goes up in space. And this is where we get back to that first scene that we read about in the book. And several crew members, spoiler alert, die. So in your mind, what does it say about Vanessa that she would not leave Lydia behind?
So it's no secret throughout the book that Vanessa could not stand Lydia.
Yep.
Most of the characters besides Joan could not stand Lydia. She is one of those people that she was written to hate. It's so easy to dislike. And the fact that Vanessa couldn't not try to save her and had to bring her back against protocol, against everyone's direction.
Especially Jones. I mean, Jones the one talking to her the whole time.
It wasn't against Jones' direction.
No, but like Joan has to be the messenger.
Yes, but Joan very specifically, I don't know if you remember this part, I did finish the book today. You did way before me. I'm pretty sure you finished the book before I even started it. But Joan very specifically said, no, I can't remember the guy's name because he was a minor character.
The guy in Mission Control with her? Mm-hmm. I think it was like Peter or something.
No, it was something either like Jack or John or Rick.
Something basic.
Anyway. She very specifically states that it's his direction, because she knows Vanessa more than anyone there. Mm-hmm. She knows what Vanessa's thinking before Vanessa even says it out loud. Yeah. And she wants Vanessa to know in their own secret code that she knows. She doesn't have to say it. She knows. And she's saying, like, very specifically, this is his direction for you to wait and fix the doors. And so I think it showed a lot about Vanessa, one, a team player, mm-hmm. but two, to save the life of someone you don't even like.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of character.
That, and it's such a risk. There's no guarantee you're even going to save her.
Yeah.
I did like that a lot. And following that, I'm going to ask the next question. Did you think Vanessa had died trying to come back to Earth?
Yes.
And what was your reaction when it's revealed that she survived?
You and I talked about this.
Very briefly.
Very briefly. And I'm so glad you said what you said, because I 100% agree with you. Here's what I'll say. I think those last few moments of the book where you're like piecing it all together and figuring out like what's going to happen, and you know that there's a good chance Vanessa and Lydia won't make it back. It was so well written that the ending, it felt like one of those stories where at the very end of it, it says, and it was all a dream. You know what I mean? And it just like, I was just like, it would have been so much better if you just left it. Which sounds tragic, but...
No, I, hot take, hated the ending. Yeah. Absolutely hated the ending. I was like, you are not going to tell me that we go through this entire book knowing that this tragedy is happening, knowing that she's risking her life to bring back one person, knowing that Joan has listened to this entire ordeal, knowing that Joan loses it in front of everyone, not only outing them, but also grieving, to then come to accept it. And it's written so beautifully.
Yes.
To then be like, maybe we will have that time. That's a terrible last sentence. I said, and I quote, I'm like 15 minutes from finishing this book, and I just know I know how it ends, but hoping I'm wrong.
So when you texted me that, were you thinking that Vanessa died? Or were you thinking Taylor Jenkins Reid is going to make it so that she survives?
So I thought she was going to die. I was hoping I was wrong that she was going to die. However, when I read the last part, so my text message contradicts itself, okay? Because when I sent that text message, I was probably closer to 20, okay? Mm-hmm. She had not even left orbit and started descending. I just had a feeling she was gonna die.
Oh, okay.
So I had not read any of the stuff about Joan accepting her fate. I had not read any of the stuff about Vanessa understanding. Like, I had not gotten to that point yet. So when I sent that text message, I was like, oh, Vanessa's gonna die, and that's how it's gonna end. But when I read how beautifully TJR wrote the section about Vanessa understanding and having Joan in her life and coming to the conclusion that she's probably going to die, even though she's finally to the point of her life where she wants to live. Mm-hmm. And there have been interviews with people who have tried to take their lives and failed. And a lot of times they realize right before they go that they actually don't want to mm-hmm. take their life. And that was kind of how Taylor wrote Vanessa, talking about all the drugs she used to do, all of the crazy things she used to do, all of the like illegal, batshit crazy things that she was doing, not a care in the world for her life. And she's finally to this point where she meets someone who she loves, mm-hmm. who she wants to spend the rest of her life with, and doing all these things. And she's finally like, I want to live. It was written so beautifully.
Yes.
Then we get Joan, who has never known love like her love with Vanessa. Didn't even know it was possible. Never even viewed it for herself. Is telling us this beautiful thing about how it is the saying, it is better to have loved
and have lost than to never have loved at all.
Yes. And so she's talking about this and saying this beautiful statement about how she is better for having met Vanessa, better for having loved, and all of these things that she has done. And at that moment, I was like, it makes sense for Vanessa to die.
Yes, that is exactly how I felt.
And then we get, and I can't even remember what Vanessa said because I was so mad she said anything.
Yeah.
And then we get Joan being like, maybe we can have it after all. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is not an emotional roller coaster. No. This is a,
oh, maybe it read to me like, well, I wanted to call off Vanessa, but my editors wanted her to live.
Yeah. That energy.
Yeah. Like a last
or
thought.
Like, or like, well, I wanted to, but I didn't think the fans would like it, so I didn't. No.
Dude. No. No. You can't. But it just felt so rushed. It felt so unfinished to me. Like, you're going to write these beautiful chapters and these beautiful paragraphs and then give us a sentence that contradicts the entire thing you just told us. It just didn't hit the mark for me.
Yeah.
Personally. And I was very upset by it. But no, my text message to you contradicted itself because I hadn't read that stuff. And then when I did, I was like, oh, no. I was wrong.
Hot take.
She does need to die.
I think she should have died. How do I say this? I think if she had died, I would have rated this book higher. Like,
I agree.
It would have given it that edge, like that unsuspecting, because it is a romance novel. So you assume, before you even read a chapter, you assume like, oh, the two love interests will probably end up together in the end.
That's why I liked that it was gearing towards them not.
That's why I liked it too. And that's why in my head I was like, oh, it'd be so good if she did pass away. Which again, sounds awful, but it's like, it's just so good. And then for her to just be like, JK.
There's a reason people love, you know, Romeo and Juliet. There's a reason people love all of these
tragedies,
tragic love stories. It does add that edge. Like, obviously, I don't want this to happen to anyone in real life. But if I'm reading a novel, like, yeah.
Yes.
It just adds that punch. So yeah. I completely agree. You and I were on the same page. And yeah.
So my last question for you is, if you had to rank Daisy Jones, Evelyn Hugo, and Atmosphere in order from your most favorite to your least favorite, how would you rank them?
Ryan. All three of these books are so vastly different.
I know.
Okay, so obviously Daisy Jones is number one because I love that book. It is actually the only one I loved of TJR. And I rated Evelyn Hugo and Atmosphere the same. So I'm not sure. As different as they are, they're very similar.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to differentiate the two of them. One's about space and one's about like an actress.
The golden age.
Yeah, but they're both written in a time when people couldn't be themselves.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard to separate them. I mean, they're two different books. Oh God, I don't know.
So how about I tell you how I would rank them?
Please do.
Okay. Because I think it'll probably be like, oh yeah, for you.
Okay.
I would also put Daisy Jones top. Easy.
Hands down.
5 stars. For me, I would rank Evelyn Hugo higher only because I did like the ending a lot.
I was thinking very similar because I think
everyone got the closure at the end.
I agree. I mean, didn't she, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been a minute, but like she ended up with the love of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up in a way, I mean, yeah, okay, cool. Some could say an Atmosphere. Joan ended up with Vanessa. But
we didn't like it.
No, one, no. And that's my problem. And that's why I'm putting Atmosphere behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I agree with you is because I didn't like the ending. If she was going to have them end up together, I just don't think that was the way to do it. Like if they were going to have if Vanessa was going to live, I didn't like the way it happened.
Yeah.
Whereas Evelyn spends this entire book talking about all of her 7 husbands, but she gets to end the book talking about her one wife.
One true love.
Yes. And it's what you spend the entire book
not even realizing you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and I don't think that book is categorized as a romance.
I don't think so either.
I'm pretty sure this is her first book that on the very cover of it, it says a romance.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think maybe that's why it didn't hit the mark. Is mm-hmm. because she categorized it as a romance, but that ending was not a romance. It was a, I don't know. I'm not going to keep talking about it. But I agree with your ratings. I think obviously Daisy Jones, unmatched, at the tippity top, and then Evelyn Hugo and Atmosphere. But they're very close together. But I did like the ending of Evelyn Hugo better than Atmosphere.
Yeah.
100%.
I agree with you on that.
So, Ryan, we've ranked the three of her books that we've both read. Now I'm curious to see, what did you rate Atmosphere?
I gave it 4 stars.
Okay.
Only because, like I said earlier, I always had a dream of being an astronaut. So I'm like, oh my gosh, a book about outer space. How cool.
And it was cool.
And it was very cool. So I really did like the subject matter. I think I would have given it 5 stars had that ending been different.
Okay.
I think the last couple chapters, like we talked about, were so well written that it would have been 5 stars had Vanessa passed away.
As morbid as that sounds, I agree. And, oh, were you done?
I'm done. I just wanted a big, long sigh.
Okay. So I gave it 3 stars, which is what I give almost every Taylor Jenkins Reid book that I've read, besides Daisy Jones and the Six. I don't dislike them. I don't love them. They're just average books. You know, Carrie Soto is back. We learned a little bit about tennis. Malibu Rising, we learned a little bit about...
Surfing.
And...
rich people.
Yeah. Atmosphere, we learned a little bit about space. Evelyn Hugo, we learned a little bit about Hollywood back in the golden
age,
yeah, whatever. And I just think that they're okay. They're nothing to write home about. However, I think I agree with you. If Vanessa had died, I probably would have bumped it up to 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I read the entire book like, yeah, this is just, you know, another TJR book. Like, it's good. But those last few chapters, I was like, this is probably, like, these chapters alone are the best writing,
yeah,
that she's had. And then she said JK. And I was like, well, we're back to 3 stars. I was like, I can't. But... I didn't dislike the book by any means. I did think it was a good book, even with that ending. I just wish it would have been a different ending, and I think I would have loved it a little bit more. But, you know, that's just it. I'm also a mystery lover, and I'm not a romance reader.
Yeah.
And I think that this book being probably one of her only ones that is, like, specifically labeled on the cover as romance, it just... of the romance books I've read, it wasn't quite romance, but it wasn't quite what she also usually writes.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of also where my 3 stars came in, is I was just like, okay, we're just kind of here. But I did like it, and I did really enjoy learning about space, and, you know, Google helped me figure out what NASA stood for.
And we love that. So what would you rate The Wine?
So glad you asked. So it's no secret that I'm not a red drinker. However, I am going to rate this 4 stars because I have already had 2 glasses and honestly wouldn't mind a third.
I know. This is crazy because the last time we recorded, we had a different red and we liked that one too, which is very unlike us.
Are our palettes changing?
I don't know. I hope so. Are we sophisticated?
Pinky's out.
I love that.
So, Ryan, what did you rate the wine?
I also gave it 4 stars because I had you pour me another glass mid-discussion. So
we are so sophisticated.
Yes. Look at us. We're growing. Well, that's all the time we have to soar through the cosmos with Atmosphere by TJR tonight. Seriously, if you haven't picked up this book yet, what are you waiting for?
Blast off to your nearest bookstore or library and definitely grab a bottle of Rebellious Pinot Noir to go along with it. It truly makes the journey even more stellar.
It certainly does. It's been an absolute pleasure diving deep into Joan's world and exploring the nuances of this incredible story.
And to all our amazing listeners, thank you for uncorking another episode with us. We love having you here.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss our next pairing. You can also find us on Instagram at Wine and Spines Podcast to see what we're reading and sipping next, and to share your own thoughts on Atmosphere.
We absolutely want to hear from you. What was your favorite part of the book? Did our wine pairing hit the mark for you? Let us know.
Our next book is Beneath a Scarlet Sky by Mark Sullivan.
Be sure to tune in next time. Until then, happy reading and happy sipping.
Cheers!